Football Sack Podcast time yet again. It's a Monday. My name's Jack. That's Christian.
Hello, everybody.
Tune in. We're back. It's Monday, the 16th today?
Works for me.
Yeah, we're in the studio to discuss another week of A-League, Premier League, everything.
Everything.
Everything. Awesome. You will hear. If there was a goal in the A-League or an incident, you will hear about it on this show over the next 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's good to have you back. Thank you for listening again.
As always.
As I said in the introductions, I'm Jack, that's Christian.
I thought we were you're going to come as a different personality this episode.
We did talk about that last time, didn't we?
We did.
I didn't put any thought into it.
Oh, no.
If you're listening, if you would like me to do the show in another voice, a bad impression of someone, get in touch, info@thefootballsack.com.
Jack does not disappoint.
Yeah, no, I'll do it well. Mm. I might just get someone else to come in and do the show.
You think, wow, Jack did that really well.
Yeah, that's right.
Simon Hill with his it's all over.
Yeah, that clip we played a while ago, yeah. We'll get on with the show here. We'll go straight into it head first and talk about the weekend's A-League action. And, it promised a lot. It started off really well on Friday night. Our first match was a corker, and it kind of fizzled out after that over the weekend with a whole heap of draws. We're getting a lot of draws this year, aren't we?
We are, but I think it's a representation of how close this comp's going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty much every single side, apart from Victory, strengths are either on the park or in the coaching staff.
Yep.
And it's showing in the results.
Absolutely. That match on Friday night, Wellington Phoenix against Gold Coast United, was just awesome.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, it was a great game.
Water polo in Wellington it was.
Yeah, just wild and windy weather, and you could just tell minutes into that game that it was going to be a corker of a match, because in those conditions you're invariably going to have players slipping over, and it creates chances. The way the ball will just stop dead sometimes, mm-hmm. when players, mm-hmm. are running with it. The greatest example was Dino Djulvic slipping over and then just handballing the one.
Yeah, just swipes it away.
Yeah. That was really good. I enjoyed that.
Like you tweeted it during the time, it's like the first touches were so awesome. It's like watching a Premier League game because the ball would just stop.
It couldn't roll away from them. Yeah, it's they'd have a bad first touch, but it would only ever go about a metre at most, because it would just stop dead. So I reckon they should just flood the pitch for every match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love there was a really bad patch. It was looking at the television screen on the right hand side up the top, where you just could not go through it because the ball would literally just stop.
Yes.
And you just have to dig it out.
Yeah, it was on the far side of the as you look at the screen.
Yes.
It was on the far side of the field, wasn't it?
Yes.
It seemed almost where Djulvic slipped over.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
The goal mouth was sort of getting really muddy by the end. Kalina's header, where he's just sort of headed it down and it's just hit the ground and just rolled. With pace. There was no bounce at all.
If it actually had to bounce normally, then the keeper would have got a hit.
Yeah,
into
that's right.
It was just
went under him. Mm. Terrific to see. It just skidded straight in without bouncing. Shane Smeltz just continues to score. Came back to haunt his old club, as many expected him to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll talk you through the goal scorers in that one. Actually, we have those here. We've got. I'll tell you what else was nice to see was the fact that that was Wellington in the winter, freezing cold, pissing down rain. And they still got more than 8,000 people turn up to the match.
Yeah, which was more than Adelaide got last week and Fury this week.
It shows how strong the Phoenix are right now, because the New Zealand Knights would never have got close to that.
No.
They would have got a few hundred for that same conditions. So well done, the Phoenix. Fantastic to see. pardon me, just running you through those goal scorers. Paul Ifill opened the scoring. Very nice finish.
Oh, wasn't it?
Poor defending, has to be said.
Yeah, okay. Again, the conditions that prevail.
Yeah, four Gold Coast United defenders threw themselves at his initial shot, and that's too easy for a player of his quality. He just switched it onto his left peg, fired home into the bottom corner. And then Shane Smeltz pulled one back. Typical Smeltz goal, stealing in. Clinical header.
Mm-hmm. You see him do it all the time.
Exactly. But they only led for a minute because Chris Greenacre popped up at the other end of the field. Slightly scrappy goal. but they all count.
They all count.
Yeah, exactly right. As a striker, he probably takes pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he really hit a wonderful goal for his second one because McAllister, to make it 3-1, took it. I think he took it on his thigh and it held up, and he was sort of gun in position, but Greenacre came through and it was clearly better if he hit the shot, and he just volleyed it in off the underside of the bar.
Wasn't that great? That was an amazing finish.
And then we had late comeback, as predicted. Shane Smeltz showing how to be a poacher, just followed Jason Kalina's run, knew the cutback was going to come, and that was 3-2. And then Jason Kalina, as we said, his header, his skid header, to make it 3-3. A really terrific game. That was great entertainment, and just continued the goal rush that we sort of tend to have. If we have both teams score, it tends to just get out of hand, but fantastic to see. And then
great viewing for TV viewers and the fans at the stadium alike.
Absolutely. So. It was probably nicer to watch that one on TV. Our second match on Friday night was, of course, the Jets taking on the Hearts' first away match in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another draw thanks to one of the better own goals you'll ever see.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
Poor Ben Kantorowski, who's a fantastic player. I got a lot of time for Kantorowski as a player. He had a chance in the first half to score where he should have hit it with his left, but chose to try and scoop it with his right and blazed over. And then in the second half, when really he should have just used his right to just hoik it into touch, he chose to use his left and managed to just curl it beautifully into the goal, chip the keeper.
Beautiful chip.
Yeah.
Well, it's a strange one because, in my opinion, when I was watching the match, because the Hart player was taking the ball and he got dispossessed, but I in my mind, it just says otherwise, I just went free kick.
Yeah.
And then the ogle happened. I said, you know what? Watch just a goal.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Jeremy Brockie as well opened his account.
Yeah, soft shot, but hey, that's a lesson. Yeah, take shots when you can because things like that do happen.
That's right. Well, if you don't shoot, you don't score. That's it. Simple. Unless, of course, you're Lee Broxham, in which case you can kind of head it into your chin and then your stomach and it might roll in if nobody else is in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy Brockie, I miss his dreadlocks.
He doesn't look the same player.
No.
How many teams has he played for now? Has he got four?
That's his
A-League?
Fourth. Yeah. He only actually had the dreadlocks for the 1 year at the Knights, but that was his biggest year, so everyone remembers.
Were they gone when he joined Sydney FC?
He joined Sydney FC, yeah, because he wanted to make himself a new player. He didn't want to get recognised by his dreadlocks. He wanted to get recognised by his skill, and that's when everyone stopped watching him. So.
Yeah. Because probably should have kept the lock.
Yeah. And then he went AWOL for a while and came back when Fury came in the comp.
Yeah.
And then now he's, of course, back at Newcastle.
Yes.
Who had... We've actually signed a few players, and you know, they're not looking too bad.
I'll tell you what, how good was Michael Bridges the other night?
He was pretty.
He's world class. He's so much talent. He was came through that Leeds team with the likes of Kuehl, etc., when they were just the young kids carving up Champions League semi-finalists. Mm-hmm. Fantastic to watch. Everyone loved watching Leeds play, but just blighted by injuries through his whole career. But he has still got it.
Oh, you can't remove class.
How old is he now? He's probably early 30s. He's probably similar age to Harry.
Yes.
So
yes.
He's probably 31, 32. I think, you know, if I was an A-League club like the Jets, I would say, hey, you know, 2 or 3 years, put pen to paper. We want you here. We want you to call the shots for our team. Because he was just class.
Yeah, that's it.
Always looking for that killer pass, trying a bit of skill. He's just that X factor, you know?
Yes, exactly. I think it's good having him. It's good for all parties concerned having him here. The Jets love him, obviously, because he's a class player. It's great to have players of that caliber in the A-League.
Yeah.
And honestly, for him, he's playing in a team where if he was perhaps up in Europe, he wouldn't be the key man.
That's
he'd
right.
He'd be a squad player. He's the key man. Everybody loves him. And what a great location, really, Australia.
Yeah, you know, weather-wise. He's obviously. And he's great for the league, too, because he's such a nice guy. He's very marketable. Mm-hmm. You know, you see him on Fox Sports FC. You know, he's great. He's very marketable for the Jets. So hopefully Constantine uses that, gets him out there in the public.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you who else also impressed me, though. Ali Abbas impressed me in the first half. Didn't see much of him in the second, but I thought he was very good. Lively.
Yeah, first half especially. He was great. Interesting to hear Matt Thompson get booed as well.
Yeah, it was just the once, wasn't it?
Yeah, just his first touch of the ball. I think it was kind of people didn't know what to do, so decided to boo, but it's strange.
Because I would have liked to have seen him score, because I doubt he would have celebrated.
I don't think he would have, no. So, yeah, because, yeah, obviously he gave them a few years of good service, Matt Thompson.
Mm-hmm. So I remember when Charlie Miller came back up to Queensland Royal for the derby when he was playing for Gold Coast.
Yeah.
His sign went off on the screen and everyone just gave him a huge cheer.
Yeah, that's right. They loved him. Yeah, they didn't want him to go. No. It was Postecoglou got rid of him. Yes. Yeah. North Queensland Fury got one of their biggest results in their short history.
Well, they have a pretty good record against Sydney FC.
Yeah, they do actually.
The foul scoring the amazing winner.
That
the,
was
last.
What a great goal that was! Great. Yeah. This is the you're listening to the Football Sack Nostalgia Podcast. We just reminisce about not too distant to go goals.
Yeah.
They had a win against Sydney FC. Okay, I tweeted this game for the site, and it was just awful for about 70 minutes. It was dreadful. And then a football game broke out, and it was really good for the last few minutes. I really enjoyed the last few minutes. Chris Grossman scored to get us underway. You know, it was one of those finally and thankfully goals that went in the 64th minute. And then it was a flurry. Scott Jamieson steeled in. You know, nice move from Sydney FC. Cross, I think it was Kofi Danning's cross from the right. Just going off the top of my head here.
No, it was McFlynn's.
It was Terry McFlynn's cross, of course, yes. Alex Brosk headed wide from a Denning cross.
Yes,
a very good
yes,
chance.
Yes.
That was... oh, no, I think he hit the target, but didn't have enough power to beat the keeper.
That's right.
Yeah. Once again, the Nostalgia Podcast. Tune in twice a week.
For all your most glorious memories.
On Thursday show, we'll be recapping and thinking back to today's show.
We'll have the football sack, you know, best of moments. You know.
Yeah.
Remember that time when Jack sneezed?
Yes, that's right. We will be like Seinfeld and we'll do a clip show every now and then, like when we get to 100 shows. And we'll just come through and we'll just play snippets, all our best jokes. So the podcast will only go for about 3 or 4 minutes.
That definitely won't make it.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. Scott Jamieson, as I said, Paul McMack, and the old Cardinal sin, switch on for the next 5 minutes after you score. They didn't do it. Darren Dahl, a really nice goal for the Fury, and deserved to win that match. And, of course, disappointing crowd, 5,000. We'd like to see more, but I'm sure they will get more now that they've beaten Sydney FC. And another reason they'll get more is for Mr. Strucker.
Oh, isn't
he great?
Coach,
how good is he? We love him.
I'm in love with him already. Can I?
He's, I wouldn't say I'm in love with him like you, but I love him. I think he's great. He's brilliant. Him G-ing up the crowd with a few minutes to go, like the match was still in progress.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in the A-League from a coach before.
He's turning around and sort of G-ing up the crowd, telling them to get behind him, and then ran out, and he celebrates with the players when they score.
The whole team ran to the bench, and he's just there doing the dance with them.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It was great. And
fantastic. He, like you said, he's a Mourinho. Like character.
Yes, he's the A-League character.
A bit of an enigma, and someone you think, you know, oh, geez, a bit in your face, but I like him a lot. He's great.
He is. And I just love him. It's 28 degrees Celsius. It's humid as hell, and he wears a suit to the game.
Oh, yeah. But it was a strange suit. It was like a jeans, shirt, and sports jacket combination.
It was really nice.
And like a beige colored blazer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just on the topic.
Straight out of Richie Beno.
Marvellous.
Yeah, marvellous. The cream, the white, the off-white, the beige.
Just a note on that French track. We've got a new article up on the site about him.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
He had a little dabble in politics of the Czech site, so you have a little bit of a history check with him, from our...
History check.
Yeah. So
it goes well with our nostalgia thing, history.
Of course. So we got
his check.
That's a guest reader submission, and... from Michael in Sydney, and he'll be doing a few articles every now and then.
Whilst you're on the site, you can also check out a fantastic comic that was put up. For those of you who haven't seen it, it was posted onto the site a few days ago, and it's an animated sort of picture of...
It's a map of Europe.
Yeah, it's a map of Europe. A bloke named Charlie Anderson has drawn it. It's a comic, and he's basically gone through Europe and labelled. It's an English viewpoint of what Europe is in football, and he's written things on each country, and it is just so funny.
Oh, it's hilarious!
You told me to check it out. I checked it out. I could not stop laughing. It's a brilliant piece of work. I'm going to show it to all my mates. I think it's brilliant.
It's good. Make sure when you click on the article, just click on the picture as well, just to enlarge.
To make it big so you can read it. It is just so funny, and it's so true with the English viewpoint of Europe. So
We won't spoil it, so go check it out yourself.
Yeah, we won't tell the best ones because they're just awesome. So if you follow football... And you know, you will really enjoy this.
That's it. If you're English or you know someone who is English, you'll
you know the English mentality.
You'll just love it. As I think, in Franz Tracker, I don't know who I love more. It's pretty crazy.
The comic called Franz Tracker, is that what you're talking about? Are you in love with the comic or do you just love it?
I love comic.
Yeah, okay. So, you love the comic, but you're in love with Franz Tracker.
There we go.
Kind of a... A man crush.
A man crush. Yeah, you could have my babies.
Yeah.
Anyway, just quickly back to the Fury.
Yeah.
I reckon, you know, watching them, they don't have a bad side.
No, not bad at all.
Okoto at the back is amazing. He's just running things. He's just the general.
I'll tell you who I've been really impressed with is Payne. Chris Payne.
Yes.
I think he's had a hand in every goal they've scored this year.
That would
be definitely scored one and set up one in Perth.
Yes, and he set up both goals.
Set up both goals the other night.
Yeah, he didn't have a third goal.
In Perth was just a free kick, but he's been really, really good. So well done to him.
Well done to him. And honestly, the whole forward line is great. Like, I got my son of
David
Cernak,
Williams.
David Williams.
Cernak was brilliant, wasn't he? First half, especially, he ran. Yeah. He was their only person who looked like he was there to play football. Yes. So that's great.
Again, Darren Dahl can finish.
I think he's a better player than a lot of people give him credit for. Sure. I liked him last year.
Yeah. Well, he's his seventh or eighth goal now. Seventh goal, I think.
Yeah.
In his career. And even the Ugandan international.
Sepia or whatever.
Eugene Sepia.
Yeah.
Started slow, but he got into it as the match went on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see that's his first match. He'll get into it and he'll.
Yeah, he was very rusty.
Yeah. He'll go all right. Yeah. He'll go all right. It's just, you know, they look a very exciting team. Of course, they're not all there yet, as in they'll have to
gel. Are you implying that they're a little bit slow?
Mentally, no, I got that. No, I'm just saying, at the backs, if it wasn't for...
That one's going on the best of podcast.
In the backs, if it wasn't for Okoto, they probably would have been a bit more trouble.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as the season goes on, they could actually turn into something quite special. Possibly not premiership winners, but, you know, I reckon they could have a good year.
Top six?
They could do.
Yeah?
They could do.
I think it might still be a season shy of being top six contenders.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, honestly, I'm looking at these teams, and there's not much separates a lot of them. And it's...
Well, as we've talked about with the draws. Shows.
Yeah, it's the thing. You know, it could honestly come down to some of these teams in the early stages who have picked up a win rather than some of the teams who picked up a draw. That could come into count, come into play in the positions from third to seventh at the end of the season.
On to our second match of Saturday night, and of course, whenever you get, as we've spoken about on this show, whenever you get a big event in the A-League, so a big crowd, 20,000 for this one, a big event like a team playing in their new stadium for the first time, of course, but it's got away win written all over it, and this was no different because Perth Glory came and crashed the party. I'll tell you what, but for a last-minute goal in that first round, Perth would have been off to a flyer. They look really good.
That's the thing. Even in the first round, they weren't that bad. I think Fury just were good. Matched them.
A couple of good goals.
I thought Perth might have been a bit iffy this year.
Yeah.
But they're looking good so far.
I think that they'll be up there if they can keep Fowler fit, give him as much time on the park as possible. I think they'll do well. The goal scorers in that one, Jamie Harmwell, open the scoring, bit of a scrap. But, you know, the defender come striker, put it away. And Miloš Jojovski scored quite a nice goal.
Yeah, he must have listened to the podcast and decided to prove us wrong.
Yeah, because he was awful. His finishing was awful the week before, apart from his goal. But tucked that one away really nicely. Mm-hmm. So, well done to Perth. Fantastic win in Melbourne for them. First win in Melbourne.
Ever.
In the A-League.
In the A-League, obviously. Yeah. So it's kind of actually ironic. Both Victory and the Heart lost their first matches at the new Amy Park.
Yes. Is that ironic?
Yes.
I'm not so sure it is. That's the worst use of irony since that Alanis Morissette song. So, rain on your wedding day is not ironic. It's just raining on your wedding day.
It's just crap.
Yeah.
All right, it's a fact for you. There you go. One for the trivia players.
Yeah. And our last match of the round was the Central Coast Mariners, their first home match of the season after the aforementioned win in Melbourne against Adelaide United, and we got another draw.
Yeah, we got another draw. Adelaide had a pretty good first half. Probably could have been two goals to the good.
Yep. And Fife. The marking for Fife's goal was terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
absolutely
it was almost
terrible.
He was almost embarrassed to score.
Yeah, he's like, oh, should I really score this
He really
one?
Honestly just tapped it with his toe and went, well, that was easy. Has the whistle gone?
Yeah. Surely something must be wrong with that. And then Central Coast just absolutely dominated the second half.
Yeah.
Adelaide didn't have
a
look in.
Got an equally soft equaliser with Matt Simon just side-footing past Gulekovic at the near post.
Yes, yes, yes. And then the red card and stuff thrown in there.
Yeah, of course. Hughes was sent off,
Adam
wasn't
Hughes.
It? Adam Hughes, yeah. Yes. who I still don't really rate as a player, to be
honest. He was the one who missed the Irish one, the Irish goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. We've been told that was when you were on the Beyond the Back Page podcast. They told you that it was a Champions League qualifier, wasn't it?
Yeah, if he had have scored, it would have been the first time an Irish League team had ever made it to the group stages of the Champions League.
Yeah,
Open goal, he just missed it. Apparently it's the biggest miss in Irish football history.
Yeah, he's famous for that. That's his claim to fame, being retarded.
Being retarded. So,
well played. Yeah, again, and not a game for the record books, that one.
No.
Not one that you want to look back on nostalgically. Mm. And that's what we do in this podcast,
so we won't get to mention it again. Yeah, cool. How's the table looking?
The table looks good, actually. It's pine, it's got four legs, it's pretty sturdy. It looks good. I like it. Quite happy with that table.
We just got a new table installed.
It's nice. Yeah. I quite like the grain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should talk about the A-League table too.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's good. Top of the league, we have Perth Glory, North Queensland Fury and the Mariners sitting up there. Again, you can't read too much into it at this stage of the season, but the bottom three clubs of Sydney FC, Melbourne Heart and Melbourne Victory.
It's pretty much literally just reversed from last season.
Yeah. So, apart from Melbourne Heart.
Really? Oh, bugger.
And we have some leaders in the leading goal scorers because we had like 11 people tied for the Golden Boot.
Last week?
Yeah.
No wonder
gold prices are skyrocketing because they've had to use a lot of it to make up Golden Boots because they thought there was going to be an 11-way tie.
We're trying to do a best of CD next week or something. What's going on?
The way we're going, this will just be the best of podcast. Yeah. Chris Greenacre, Chris Grossman, Shades Melson, Mille, Stojovski are all on two.
Awesome.
Flying high.
At least I'm glad we're going out of the days, except for the first season of the A-League where the top goal scorer was tied between two or three players with eight goals.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you had Broskett, Raw, Archie Thompson, who only played half a season.
Yeah.
And was there someone else?
It was.
Wasn't a Perth Glory player, was it?
No. I think it might have been... Oh... No, that's going to bug me now.
Yeah, it would have been. Oh, it might have been Central Coast player because
I was just thinking it might have been a Central Coast. Korsnick?
No, I don't think so.
He's got a lot of penalties.
No, fair enough. Anyway, moving along before the listeners don't realise we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, don't mention the war. we will go into the week three fixtures next weekend. We kick off on Friday night with Adelaide United against Melbourne Heart.
Okay. Thoughts? Yeah, no, we'll see what happens.
Probably will.
I don't know. Heart will be looking for their first win.
More cutting edge journalism here on the Football Sack. Predictions. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Can I tell you my prediction after the match? Cutting edge.
Great stuff. We'll
cross back to you later.
This is this podcast in a week.
Yeah. Awesome. More expert comments from Christian Leyland later in the show. Okay, I'll get it together eventually. I think that that one's probably got draw written all over it for me as well.
Yeah, probably. Heart seem to struggle to score. If they get Terra more involved, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah,
but then. Adelaide, who knows?
He continues to look good. Did you see his turn on Topor Stanley?
Oh, wasn't that amazing? Lovely. I'm just going to school everybody in the world.
It was a very cheeky little, how you doing? Mm-hmm.
On that, the 1-2 with Darren Dahl and Chris Payne was awesome as well.
It was, yeah, that's right, yeah. But it was just a basic but well executed.
Yeah, that's it.
Just the wall pass, yeah. Saturday, doubleheader, Perth Glory against the Newcastle Jets. I would expect a pretty big crowd again.
Yeah,
over there,
of course. Yeah, Perth with the win against Victory, so the already sold out stadium will be just bursting. Hopefully, another sellout.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome.
I think it will because obviously the Bridges factor against Fowler. Mm. A lot of English expats live in Perth. You go back 10 years; they were two of the big names in the English
Liverpool
Premier League
versus Leeds.
Yeah, that's right. They were both high flying in the Premier League. Those two players, so. Get out there and watch that game. It's going to be great.
For sure.
Afternoon game, too. They tend to... The great atmosphere over there for afternoon matches.
No, it's great atmosphere whenever there's a full crowd there.
It's a good point, yeah. Mm. Saturday night, we get Brisbane Roar are at home for the first time this season.
Yes, I will be up there.
Oh, you going to the game?
I am.
Will you be schmoozing it up in the corporate box again?
I guess I'll have to be. Twisting my arm there.
Someone's got to do it.
I'll lose my street cred if you tell too many people.
Yeah. You had an interesting story for me that you said that beer was cheaper in the corporate box than it is down for the punters.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. You go to Suncorp Stadium and you just like, because I always used to just, you know, stand with the normal fans.
Yeah.
I'd go out there.
Or the commoners, as you refer to them now.
Yeah. The plebs. You get a choice of 4X for a ridiculous price, like $7 or $8.
Yeah.
I went up to the box the other week for the Everton game. I have a choice of 3 beers, including Heineken and Extra Dry, all cheaper than just a normal 4X at down the commoners. I'm saying it now.
Yeah, that's right.
I just couldn't remember, like, so the people who can actually afford to pay more don't have to.
You really do look down on the people now, don't you?
That's it.
You're standing up on the balcony making fascist salutes during the match. We have Brisbane Roar against Sydney FC. You'd hope for a pretty big crowd there. They'll be hoping for 15 plus, I would think.
They would be hoping for, but after last season,
they'd probably be hoping for a sellout. Might not happen.
After last season's crowd, let's just hope for 10,000.
Yeah, 5 figures would be nice, but yeah, I'd like to think, because they're looking good this year.
They are
really good. Played extremely well in that first round at the Gold Coast. Looked great. We've got that Saturday night. Sunday is another doubleheader. The daytime match. Well, they're both daytime matches, but one of them is in New Zealand. So the Phoenix take on the Mariners. Traditionally, a pretty entertaining fixture, that one.
Yeah, it should be good. Hopefully, we'll get to see Patricio Perez.
Yeah, finally. Has he been cotton wool, or is it a permit work thing?
No, he was actually in the squad for the first match, but a minute before the match, he did a body.
Oh, he got injured. Yeah, yeah, he got injured in the warm-up, of course.
And then
yeah.
It was cotton wool last week, just to make sure he's fit for this match.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, it'd be good to see him play.
Yeah.
And we've also got Wellington's import to see as well, who didn't get a game.
Oh, the Argentine?
Toto.
Yeah, he's Argentinian. Was I right in saying that?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he's Argentinian. Mm. He was walking around, coming out after the out of the tunnel at half time,
just going, "What am I doing?"
Yeah, with this, he was had this. You know, I have made a big mistake. Look on his face.
He had Rubinho at Man City. Look at his face, going, "Oh God."
Yeah, the poor fella.
Yeah, he had his collar pulled up as much as he could and stuff. It was really crazy.
And then our last match,
Battle of the Yellow Stripes. Love it.
Yes. Well. The Mariners won't be wearing this. They'll be wearing. What will they wear? Because their two kits are yellow and yellow and blue, and the Phoenix are yellow and black.
Mm. Well, maybe the Phoenix.
I think the Phoenix home kit. If the Mariners play in white shorts and white socks or something like that, it should be enough to differentiate.
Possibly. You never know. I don't know. They might just get them Phoenix just to play on their white strip. Who knows?
Yeah, might happen. Melbourne Victory against North Queensland Fury rounds out the weekend on Sunday afternoon. So take two for trying to get that first win in the new stadium for them.
Mm.
And the green seats.
And it's a Fury home game.
Message to our Melbourne listeners, you need to sell out this game, because for every empty seat in that stadium with those ridiculous green seats, it's going to look like a Fury fan is sitting there. So if you only half fill the stadium, it's very quiet, those Fury supporters, yeah.
But they're there all the same.
Yeah, that used to be a joke that when Chelsea would draw poor crowds to like their sort of Champions League matches when no one could be asked going to watch them on a Tuesday night when it's cold, mm-hmm. They'd say, "Oh, gee, a lot of Chelsea fans came dressed as plastic seats tonight." Yeah.
Yes.
On that segue, are we done with the A-League?
I was going to have a little vent at the stadium seat colour.
Let's talk it, because it pissed me off.
I think it's stupid. It's
ludicrous. It looks tacky and cheap.
It just looks crap, really.
That's another word you could use to use it. Yeah,
it's like I don't know if anyone knows, but back in like primary school when they're trying to do the green energy things, these electricity companies come out and give you these rules made out of, you know, energy, you know, help environmentally friendly recycling, which looks like it's crappy green. It's exactly what those chairs look like.
Oh, I never got one of those rulers. Okay. I feel a bit shortchanged.
Oh, no. You should do, because they were amazing. But yeah, it just none of the tenets. Melbourne Storm, Victory and Heart are green.
Yeah.
Feels like, oh, we'll make it neutral. If you're going to make it a neutral color, at least make it a neutral color which looks nice to the eye.
That's why I tweeted, because there are a lot of neutral colors you can have there. Look, orange at Suncorp Stadium looks great. Why not have that very warm feel to it?
Mm-hmm.
There's something really cold and synthetic about that stadium at the moment, but fantastic stadium.
It is.
I just wish the city, you know, and if you're in doubt, just make it sky blue. A lot of stadiums around the world that are neutral will just have sky blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's inoffensive. Yeah. Anyway.
Just do white if you're in doubt. Jesus.
Yeah. Good point.
I've never actually seen, you know what I wouldn't want to say? Black. I've never seen a stadium with black seats.
The Wolfenstadion, Borussia Dortmund's ground, they have yellow and black.
Yellow and black, yeah.
Yeah, black. Oh, Notts County.
Oh, okay.
Former employers for about 40 seconds. They have black seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But we don't like them anymore.
No, they're wankers.
Yes.
So I hope they go down. right, for my own personal reasons.
Yes,
there.
There's nobody really.
Let's since we're over in the European continent, let's segue nicely to the Premier League, and that kicked off over the weekend. I'll take the credit, Nike's new match ball for the Premier League this season, they've had this big ad campaign about, destroy the draw, kill the nil, so basically saying, you know, we're going to get rid of draws and no goal affairs because this, we're going to score lots. And its first match in use was, of course, Man City Tottenham, which was a scoreless
draw.
But it was nothing to do with the ball, it was all to do with Joe Hart. He was brilliant.
Showed his Birmingham form was no fluke.
Yeah, well, it just shows he should have been the England keeper at the World Cup. Capello really, he was at that game on the weekend, Capello. And just hit some of those saves. I think it was Asua Koto's deflected shot was my pick of them. The one that from outside the area was dipping inside under the bar. Brilliant. Joe Hart was great. Other than that, Tottenham deserved to win that game, I think it's fair to say. But City, credit to him, when you go away to a top four side, if you can battle it and at the end of the game be level, you'll take it.
Yeah.
Because it was similar for Arsenal last night as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought with the City game, you know, yes, Tottenham should have been ahead at the half time.
Yeah.
By probably a few goals. Yeah. Yes. But honestly, in the second half, I didn't think they had that much to offer.
No, they didn't. Well, that was it. They were nullified at half time. He made the change at half time, on Zabaleta. Who I really like as a player.
Really? Every time someone runs at him, I go, all right, well, here's Zabaleta getting sent off. He's just so rash in his tackling. I don't mind him having him in the midfield because the free kicks he gives away are higher up.
Yeah.
But when he's defender, the free kick is always near the box, and we've lost games because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't like Yaya Touré's performance? I thought it was brilliant.
Brilliant, really?
Well, I thought he was really good.
That's a big call. I texted you, didn't I?
Yeah, you said he was hopeless.
Rubbish.
Yeah. You also said
Sean Wright Phillips
was rubbish, which is true. Kolarov didn't play that well, was injured.
Yeah, came out. Yeah, he didn't arrive for the second half, did he? He was injured. But
Wright Phillips was rubbish. He should have won the game for City.
Had a great chance. Oh, yeah.
He didn't even get a shot away.
No. That was awful. But
Adam Johnson should have started. Anyway, I don't know. I just thought Yaya was good. Yeah, defensively solid, and he just looks like composed on the ball, and he's just huge.
He's a man mountain. I just thought his passing was sloppy.
Yeah.
Made a lot of dumb passes past the players who already had men standing next to them and put pressure on. Didn't see a lot of runs that players were making, that sort of stuff. Right. But first game in a new league. We'll give him time to warm to it. My team, of course, got hammered. We won't talk about that too much.
Offside, what?
Yeah, well, did you see that?
I did, yeah.
The opening goal, like, to be fair, Villa probably deserved to win by 4 or 5, so I'm not saying it cost us the match. Mm-hmm. But Stuart Downing's goal was only about 2 or 3 metres offside.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Was it? The refs only get to see it once.
Yeah, and when it happened the first time, I said, he was offside. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah. Got done 3-0 by Aston Villa, who looked really, really good. James Milner was brilliant,
mm-hmm.
possibly his last match for them.
Yes.
Of course, the big news for Australian sort of interest in the Premier League circled around the Fulham 0-Bolton 0 match. Not because of the results or the performance, but the fact that Mark Schwarzer did not play or sit on the bench for Fulham.
Yeah, he wasn't in the squad, which is probably a good sign for all involved.
I think that means that later this week he will be off to Arsenal,
yes.
Who were very fortunate on the subject of goalkeepers to take a point from Anfield last night. Pepe Reina, for those of you who didn't see it, it's a fantastic blunder.
He loves the big games, doesn't he?
He does. He will be great all season, and then in the big matches, has a really nasty habit of making a real tit out of himself, dropping balls, you know, pushing balls into his own net, you know, bringing players down. Anyway, hopefully that'll be Brad Jones soon.
Yes. Yeah. Could be too. Imagine having an Australian keeper at both Liverpool and Arsenal.
Yeah, imagine this fixture next time around later in the season could be Jones and Schwarzer. Yes. Wouldn't that be great?
That is. And another result, Didier Drogba drives the Chelsea dagger through the baggies.
There you go. That was Christian's. That one will make the best of podcast.
There we go.
Yeah. Christian came up with a very witty headline. Didier Drogba, of course, bagged a hat-trick in Chelsea's 6-0 hammering of West Bromwich Albion and said, Chelsea... Hey, Didier Drogba drove a Chelsea dagger through the baggies, and of course Chelsea dagger is our theme tune here for the show that you hear at the start and the finish, and gets everybody dancing around with their iPods in.
Yeah, man.
We still have a match to go tonight, of course. Manchester United, possibly the main challengers for the title, kick off at home to Newcastle United.
Two old rivals.
Yes, yeah. A big northern match, that one, so...
Yeah,
up north, they'll be enjoying that. On the tune, they will. Of course, none of Manchester's fans are from the north. They all drive up from London every
from
Saturday.
Ireland and London,
that's right. Yeah, they all drive up from Torquay. At this point in the show, we'd also like to thank our sponsors, Betfair.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they still have their promotion running, I believe.
Yes, it's still running. For any football set listeners,
yep.
Go to our site, click on the ad on the left, open up a $30 account, and you have a $50 free bet from Betfair to bet on whatever you want. So
anything you like, yeah.
Take it up while it lasts, because honestly, you know, if you're a betting person, or even if you're not, what have you got to lose?
Exactly, yeah, well, that's right.
Nothing.
You know, you literally have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So get on board, support the people who support us.
Mm. Oh, by the way, I'm just looking at Jack's shirt. I have a correction from last week. We incorrectly said our new Socceroos coach was assistant manager of Canada when they won the Gold Cup. It was, of course, the head coach of Canada.
Did we say that?
We did. We accidentally said it.
Oh. I didn't think we did. I thought I was always under the impression he was the manager.
Yeah, no, I think we just said the wrong thing.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, apologies.
Yes.
I will grovel to... Did we get picked up on that?
No, just the shirt, man.
Are you bringing that up? So we would have got away with it had you not brought it up.
Yes, we would have.
You idiot, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I thought I got away with it. We'll finish on a Fawlty Towers reference. I've been Jack Quigley.
Manuel.
Yes, very nice. That was the voice of Christian Leyland, impersonating Manuel from Fawlty Towers. And I will wrap up the show. Are we done?
We're done.
Okay, cool. We'll be back on Thursday to preview... everything and look back at today's podcast, because this has been the Nostalgia Football Sack Podcast. We'll see you next week.